Many of us, I believe, the choice to come to church is one thing, but the intention of fellowship is something different. I believe that every time we come into the house of God, it's an opportunity. Because in life, because of isolation and insulation, amen, we find ourselves living with loneliness, trying to figure things out on our own. It is a known fact that when a child is born, it is placed in a sterile environment, the nursery. Amen. It's incubated. It's sterile. But even with the purity of the environment, the child still needs a touch. The moment a child is born, the child feels the touch of the parent, the mother. That is an important moment in the life and development of the child. Even in the nursery area, there are people in there who are nurses in there that are holding the babies and comforting them and caring for them with their presence. I'm trying to help somebody with something. The pandemic has caused us to fall deeper and deeper into isolation, insulation, depression. And I got to ask you a question today. Do you feel like you're missing something in your faith journey? I want to encourage you to seek out fellowship with other believers. You know, it can be easy to forget how important it is to have other believers in our lives to support us and challenge us to grow. See, it's more than just coming to church. It's more than just knowing spiritual things, growing spiritually, having a church home to go to. Fellowship with other believers, it encourages us to become more like Jesus and to live out our faith in a deeper, more meaningful way. You know, we should strive to build relationships with one another. You know, to share our lives. We should be willing to listen to their point of view. Listen to their stories. Learn from one another. Are you with me? Listen, fellowship with another believer can become a powerful tool for spiritual growth because what it does, it encourages you to accountability. You see, the church today has lost its way. The church today is being presented more as a place where you come to be entertained, where you come to feel better, but that feeling leaves you because there's no real connection to each other. A lot of us say God. But here's the thing. The Bible says you can't say you love God when you hate your brother who you see. Where you can't stand people. Amen. God did not make you like that. As a matter of fact, that's something that we developed. And so we find where our journey has taken us. journey has taken us to a place with Abraham face to face. It's taken us to a place where I had to look at it again. I could have went a different angle with this, but the question I have is, God had appeared to Abraham several times. Y'all remember all the times we talked about, right? He came to him face to face, but now my question is, why did the Lord approach Abraham in this manner? Think about it. Why didn't he use an oracle? Why didn't he use a vision like he did before? Why didn't he just use his voice? Because like Abraham, last week I talked about doubt. If we don't see, come on somebody. If we don't have an example, listen, whatever you're going through right now, if you were to share it with someone, see, some people are at home playing pity parties. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, the church this and the church don't do this and the church don't do that. No, boo, you just ain't been present. Come on, say amen. The church ain't been nowhere. We didn't just pick up and leave. Amen. And so what you're having is what I call separation anxiety. What I call that, amen, is disconnection from the vine. Because if you're not connected to the vine and there's no fellowship, then yes, you're going to feel like the church or the people in the church are not there for you. Come on, Holy Ghost, and help me. And so I reckon that Abraham felt the same way. God had told him this. He done doubted. He done laughed. He done did all of this, right? Now, Abraham's visitors, let's look at this now. It conveys something. You know what it conveys? It conveys intimate fellowship. Intimate what? Fellowship. We live in strange times. Amen. You know why I say that? Our neighbors don't even know us. Amen. We live such closed off life. I remember back in the day, the neighbor would whoop you behind. And listen, got permission from your parent. Amen. If your neighbor saw you doing something, they could correct you. Amen. So we live in a time where we are in this thing where it says that mind your own business. Amen. That ain't my business. Amen. I ain't getting into that. You understand what I'm saying? And here's the thing, what I believe with believers. I believe that many believers are suffering in silence because they rather be isolated than share their struggles. A lot of believers are hurting. A lot of you are hurting. And you just don't know you're hurting because you have not shared your struggles. Are you with me? Now the text says, now the Lord appeared to him. Now this is what you call a theophany. Are you with me? It's a theophany. What is a theophany? It's an appearance of God to man. Are you with me? It is what? An appearance of God to man. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament is believed to have pictures of Christ showing up as a theophany. Abram didn't know who these guys were. All he knew, he saw, look what the text says, and when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing what? Opposite him. Are you with me? But look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, now the Lord, you catch it? There's the theophany. Verse 2, it says, and when he lifted up his eyes, what? He looked and behold, three men were standing. I don't know if it's the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We ain't reading into it. Okay, but that's not what the text says. It says three what? Men, a theophany, were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from his what? From his tent. Now, let me share this with you. You do remember what happened in chapter 17, right? You know what happened in chapter 17? He had just been circumcised. He was in recovery. Lord have mercy. He was in a season of healing. Lord. Boy, I wish I had a few people get happy about the revelations I be getting out of this stuff. Watch this. The covenant that he made with the Lord had been to cut his flesh. He is now healing. And as an old man, not as a child, it take a little longer time to heal. You know, the blood don't flow right and things like that. Okay, so he's in what? Recovery. The text says, but what did he do? He probably was running like this. You know, I don't know how he was running, but I know he was struggling. But watch this. Let me say this to you. People that don't want to come back to church, they have a problem with fellowship. And then people who get their feelings hurt real quick because of little things, it's because they are still in recovery. They may still be healing. Are you with me? Watch the text now. Text says, three men were standing. He bowed himself to the earth. And look what verse 3 said. And he said, my Lord. Notice, he addressed them as what? My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. And so, when it comes down to hospitality, when it comes down to fellowship, are you with me? What's the first thing we should do? Here's the thing we do. We may not feel it, but we should never miss the opportunity. I don't feel like coming to church all the time. I don't think I've ever felt like that. I'm sorry. You want to know why? Because I know where my help came from. I know what the Lord has done for me. But the thing about fellowship, we live in a time now where people don't feel it. And then they have all kinds of excuses why they don't want to fellowship. It's too early, it's too late, it's too dark, I can't see, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, I'm in recovery. I'm healing. I done been cut on. I done been cut off. Come on, somebody, right? And here's the thing. People want fellowship. They want benefits without fellowship. They want blessings without fellowship. Fellowship to God. You know what Abram saw? He saw an opportunity. He didn't know who these guys were. He did not know it was the Lord. Oh, I wish I had somebody. And I know we're not all the way perfect. I understand that. But here's what I do know. I know that God is working on your life. I know God is doing something in you that you could say to me that can encourage me to get through, listen, where I'm at right now. There's no healing in hiding. And you cannot hide from Jesus and think you're going to be better. But it's something about when we come together as a body of Christ. When, you know what we did last week in the cafe? The fellowship meal that we had? Oh, that was so awesome. To just be around other believers again. To rub shoulders with each other, to talk, to laugh, to joke, to amen, to encourage one another in spite of all that we're going through in life. And can I tell you something? Sometimes the enemy will get you to think that, they this or they that, but don't fall for that. Saints, we may not feel it, but we should never miss the opportunity to fellowship. I don't feel like it today. If you run your Christian life on feelings, you'll miss the opportunities that God has for you. Tony Evans tells a story of his daughter. Her friend would always sit next to her. It just so happened that that day her friend wasn't there. Amen. And she went on anyway. She went on to church anyways. And this guy showed up. He was visiting out of town. And he sat in the seat and he got up. He said, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, how you doing today? And she turned and they talked to each other. And come to find out, long story short, they'd end up being her husband later on. You never know in fellowship how God may put things together. But saints, we have to get out of the mindset that everything is always negative. Imagine if he had this negative feeling in his mind. Man, I just got cut on, man. God done told. Listen, some of the things that God asks you to do is going to hurt. Chapter 17 is about hurt. But it's also about promise. Sometimes the promises that God is trying to put in your life will cost you something. Watch this. But guess what? It may hurt, but you're going to heal. Are you with me? And so he's been cut on. But he did not use it as an excuse to say, those three men could have passed right by him. But look what he said. He said, rest yourself. He said to his sir, he said, do not. Please, you see that? Please, 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 please tell your neighbor the gift of fellowship. Look what he says. Look what he says. Look what he says. Verse 4 says what? Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And look what he says. He says, and I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. It's easy to run this over. Tell your neighbor the gift of fellowship. The second thing I believe if we're going to fellowship is this. Yeah, man. I mean, seriously, man. The church is the last place for people to get attitudes all the time. Now, I know you got some troubles, okay? But this is not the place for you to be tripping and sowing discord in. I'm just going where the passage is taking me. Here's the thing about fellowship. You ready? Why I say you got to show yourself friendly? Because when you have a taker's mentality, all you do is come to take. You understand? We want benefits without participation. We want the blessings of God, but do you not know that fellowship is an important thing? But we have to show ourselves what? Friendly. Listen, how you speak to people, what you say to each other, even in passing, it's real important that when you come through the courts, the gates, you come with thanksgiving. You enter the gates with thanksgiving. You come into the court with praise. So I'm thinking if you brought joy, thanksgiving, and praise, then why can we not fellowship? Oh, somebody needed to hear this today. I want to tell you something. Your participation is important. Don't just use church just when you need something from God. Get to know each other. Come on, somebody. Love each other. The greatest among you is a servant. And here's the thing. You notice that Abram here is hurrying to serve. To serve. I ain't got many more points. It's real simple. If you're going to receive the gift of fellowship, you got to show yourselves what? Friendly. Kind. Come on, somebody. Praying with each other. Encouraging each other. Come on, somebody. helping each other with the struggles that we go through in life. Saints, we cannot do it alone anymore. Are you with me? Watch this, watch this, watch this. And you got to catch this part right here, okay? So here's the next part of this verse, verse 6. Abram hurried into the tent to Sarah, his wife. What did he say? Now here he is. Remember, he's cut. He's healing. I keep that in your mind. Look what he says to his wife. Quickly. Prepare 3 measures of fine flour and knead it. And I want you to make bread cakes. You got it? He ran into Sarah, says, Sarah, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to go out there, and I want you to prepare this right here. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. What does it say? Abram also what? I'm going to say it one more time. He's healing. There's something about what he felt about fellowship, right? There's something about fellowship that he and hospitality that he enjoyed. And can I tell you something? In this time, to eat together was important for fellowship. You know why? Because it was looked upon as a peace offering. Whenever you break bread with someone, oh, come on, somebody, you're taking the relationship to the next level. In other words, you are now coming together, amen, as a peace offering to each other to say we have something in common. Verse 6, look what he says. He says here, verse 7, he says, he took the tender and choice calf. He didn't give him the worst, he gave him the best. And gave it to the servant, and he hurried to what? Prepare it. Are you seeing this? Amen. Amen. Abraham was extending what I call lavish hospitality. Amen. It was the washing of the feet. It was the rest. It was the freshly baked cake. It was the roasted calf, curds and milk. And Abraham assured that these guests were welcome properly. Oh, sometimes people come to church, they don't feel that. They don't feel the hospitality. They don't feel the fellowship. Come on, somebody. Look what he says. He says he took the curd of milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they what? Ate. So what's the next point? Next point is this. We must serve each other genuinely. Imagine if you gave your big old plate first to the other person. Some people come into fellowship and they think it's the last meal they're going to ever eat. Come on, say amen now. Come on, say amen. I know this is touching you a different kind of way, but here's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm saying, serve others. Give your best. We're not real. We say we fellowship and we do hospitality, but we really don't do hospitality. It's about making somebody else feel better than you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we must serve each other genuinely. Sometimes all we're thinking about is ourselves. Can I make you a cup of coffee for you today? Not, hey, give me a cup of coffee. I don't know what the Lord is telling us, church, Vision Church, but obviously there's some things that we need to tighten up on. I'm going to say it one more time. Given his post circumcision condition and age, this running around must have been a little bit difficult. But in spite of it all, he did not give what? An excuse. Because to eat together was an important fellowship, to eat together. The Sister Harris, who said, Pastor, I think that every fourth Sunday we should come together as a church And I was like, where is that coming from? I said, well, okay, that's fine. That's cool. And then it just, you know, it just popped up on me. I'm like, wait a minute, fourth Sunday? Yeah. But see, God knew we were coming to this point. And some of you who are watching online, you know, you've been talking about the fact that you don't feel connected. Or you don't feel like the church cares about you. But I beg to differ. I truly beg to differ, because if you come to this house, to this church, listen, we ain't perfect. Amen. Every day, every now and then we may get caught off guard. But here's what I do know about this church. You need to take another look at it. That the people in this church loves each other. Okay, now we got our ups and downs. But if you come around here long enough, consistent enough, you'll realize that you can get exactly what you're looking for. Fellowship. Because everything that needs to be addressed is addressed from this pulpit. Through the word of God. Genuine, man. I love to see people who are not faking it. Don't you need some people like that around you? Listen, they're not faking that they like you. You know what I mean? Or liking you because of your position. No. I got one more. We're finna leave. Look at verse 9. Then they said to him, notice, they ate. They fellowshipped. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? He said, there in the tent. Next week we're going to get up on Sarah here. He said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. See what happens when you miss fellowship? You miss revelation. You miss an encouraging word. God can speak through somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit to say something to you that will transform your life forever. Watch this. Behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the door, at the tent door, which was behind him. You ready? You ready for the last point? Here it is. We must embrace advice and encouragement during fellowship. You can't be the only one talking. Stop for a minute and open your two ears and close that one mouth you got. And just listen. And God will say something through somebody that will transform you, that will give you some advice. Some of you are trying to figure some stuff out right now on your own. But can I help somebody with something? If you would just embrace the advice. You know what? When I give people advice, you know what they say right after I give them advice? But you don't understand. But you don't know her like I know. You don't know him like I know him. Remember, if you're not willing to accept advice, you will forever stay the same. And then you will break fellowship. Now, let me tell you about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, you know what I really believe, though? Why those people online won't come to church? Because they've broken fellowship with God. And when you break fellowship with God, you don't want no advice. You don't want no encouragement. As a matter of fact, you don't even want to be around anybody else that's light. You know why? Because you're hiding. Now, can I say this to anybody that's here right now who's broken fellowship? Here's the thing. You haven't lost your relationship with God. you've just broken your fellowship with God. Fellowship is intimacy. Fellowship brings you to a place where you can be scrutinized and be helped. And so I encourage you to embrace. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you know what the first thing they did? You think they hid themselves first? No, they covered themselves up first. They tried to cover it up. Then they hid. You know what I mean? Can you imagine having fig leaves around you? And you allergic? They had allergic, because remember, they had fallen to sin. They had to get some calamine lotion and stuff. They were in trouble, and that's what happens when you try to cover yourself, watch this, rather than come clean. You know, fake ID is normally used to give the impression that you are that a younger person is older than they really are. Many Christians come to church with a fake ID, giving the impression that it's all well, that everything is okay. Amen. But we watch this. We show an ID of harmony when our lives are really in discord. We show an ID of having it all together when we know that our world is falling apart. However, God saves us for authentic relationships and fellowships with one another, so you don't have to fake it anymore.